Let's move on to the, and I was upbraided by Michael Falkenberg about implying that Mandamus is not interesting. And he's going to fight me later in the parking lot. So, of course, Mandamus is becoming a bigger deal, obviously, and more, I wonder what case could have started that. I don't know. But in any event, we're going to have a really frequent speaker here at the conference, Rosa Justice Theophanes. I'm so proud to be able to say Justice Theophanes here and also be able to pronounce her name correctly. I've known her for a while. She's spoken here frequently. She actually would teach legal writing as an adjunct professor at the University of Texas. She is a longtime assistant county attorney for Travis County. And now she's on the Court of Appeals in the Third Court, and she is just a wonderful lecturer. She's super, super smart. I'm really excited to have her, and I think she's going to do a great job. So everyone give it up for Justice Theophanes. Why don't you come here?
Good morning, everyone, and thank you so much, Judge Newell, for that kind introduction. It's so wonderful to see everyone here. It's an honor to be here, and it's a lot of fun to see old friends and people from the criminal appellate world, which I view as my true ecosystem. So post-pandemic, I think I appreciate even more the chance to kind of see everyone, to learn from each other, and so it's just wonderful to be here. And thank you so much to the committee for inviting me to come speak on mandamus again. Thanks also, Michael Falkenberg, for defending the topic of mandamus, which I happen to share his opinion that it's fascinating and fun. Fundamentally, I see mandamus as a tool to compel the court to do the right thing when your powers of persuasion have failed in the court itself. So you cannot prevail on mandamus unless you show a very clear right to the relief sought, which can be hard to do. So some of you in this audience may be very familiar with mandamus. And for others, it may seem sort of mysterious and hard to fathom. I don't know if it's just that writ title or what, but at times, mandamus has felt, at least to me as a practitioner, as obscure, and how do you learn how to do this? But my goal today is to demystify mandamus as much as possible so that if you're called upon by the court to answer as a real party in interest, or you're litigating in the trial court and you feel the court has done something so out of bounds that you must respond, I hope you'll feel more prepared after today to sort of make your case to the court. In terms of the structure of this discussion, first, I'm going to discuss some rules governing extraordinary matters, and then we'll discuss substantive requirements on mandamus with some case examples to kind of flesh out how this works out. So as a litigator, prior to election, I responded to petitions for mandamus quite a few times as a real party in interest. But I had never prevailed as a relator seeking mandamus. But following my election to the court, just before I took office, my very last case was a successful petition for mandamus. So I'm probably never going to stop talking about it, and I'll fill you in a lot during this presentation. But it was a termination of parental rights case. Our office, the Travis County District Attorney's Office in Travis County, handles those cases on behalf of the department. And in that case, the trial court granted a new trial without really giving an adequate reason for it, and so we sought relief on mandamus. I can tell you anecdotally that the feeling in that case was there's got to be something that we can do. And I'm not sure that behind every successful petition for writ of mandamus, there's a similar sense of outrage, but I'm sure that it doesn't hurt. So a writ of mandamus is a writ issued by a court to compel performance of a particular act by a lower court or governmental officer or body, usually to correct a prior action or failure to act. Conversely, the sort of flip side of it, prohibition, appropriately issues to prevent the commission of a future act, not to undo, nullify, or review an act already performed. It will not be granted when the act sought to be prevented is already done, but will lie when such act is not a full, complete, and accomplished judicial act. That said, the Court of Criminal Appeals has made it clear, saying it's long been our practice with respect to pleadings in extraordinary matters to look to the substance of the pleading, not its denomination. So in practice, you may see filings from different people that say, you know, filing of writ of mandamus and or prohibition, or you might take that route yourself, and hopefully the court will respond according to what the substance of the pleading actually says. The biggest practical difference is a limitation on the jurisdiction of the courts. So the courts of appeals lack original jurisdiction over a petition for writ of prohibition other than to enforce their own jurisdiction.